And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Mike O'Hara, football extraordinaire. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown.
And Nick Roddy, the new member of the cast. Hello, Nick.
Hello, everybody.
All right. We got letters over the last week, Nick, that we need to change the name because of you. But I told you, you're on probation right now, so we don't change the name yet. But a couple of weeks, we may have to change it.
All right.
What are you going to call him, Mike O'Hara?
Yeah, Mike O'Hara. Matter of fact, it may be the K&N podcast. We might have to boo Mike if he keeps on with this slander he's been talking about. But we'll get to that in a minute. Hello, Mike. Are you ready?
I've been ready. I've been waiting for you, guys.
All right. Last night, the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football to the nation went out and showed what they are offensively. And we'll get the defense in a while. But a nice win last night, gentlemen. Monday Night Football. Nick, what did you see? What did you think of the atmosphere last night with the black unis?
I like the black uniforms. I heard some mixed reviews from fans and media. I liked them. I liked the combo with the helmets. And I mean, the atmosphere was just a typical Lions game, I feel like. I feel like that's the standard. It didn't really stand out as far as any other game we've experienced in the past, I guess, year and a half. So I think that's kind of what we come to expect for home crowds.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know about you, but I thought this was a survive game. This was a trap game on the schedule to me against a team that has beaten you. What they've beaten Campbell every time he's played, I guess three times, and they haven't won in 10 years against Seattle. And I just thought that this was a trap game. And for some reason, Geno Smith plays his best ball against the Lions. I don't know what it is and how it works, but that Geno Smith you saw last night isn't the Geno Smith you see every week for Seattle. So it was a tough game. And it's funny, it might have been a close game, but it wasn't a close game. You know what I mean? It was like in that gray area. I never felt the Lions in jeopardy of losing, but I just felt they were in jeopardy of keeping it close. That's where I ended up with it.
I sort of thought, I think, the same thing. But when you really look at the way things transpired through the game, the Lions had 50 offensive snaps, and against an opponent that had 78. So they really had to dig in and protect what they built, and that is a lead early and stay there, and they did that.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the defense a minute because 90 plays was a lot of plays and of course the defense is not going to be good when you're running 90 plays. Now, whose fault they were running 90 plays? We'll get to that in a little while. But like Alex Anzalone played 90 plays yesterday. In the first game, I think they played 75 or 78 plays. You know, that's two games out of four where that defense is just on the field too much. And I don't know right now how you solve it, but I think that's going to be a problem going forward. But we'll get to the D in a minute. I just thought there's too many plays. Offensively, I told you everybody wasn't going to eat every week, but I thought it was a nice balance last night of everybody getting a taste of the pie.
I agree with that. You know, Jamison Williams had two snaps. One of them was a touchdown, a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, two balls.
What's the complaint about it?
Well, you're right. Two balls, two targets, yeah. 70 yards, yeah. A touchdown. You're right.
But out there blocking him for his buddies, you know. That kid's a real ball player. He really is.
And, Nick, Laporta, everybody's crying about for their fantasy team. That's what y'all get for playing. He got four balls and four targets last night, 53 yards. One big play, I remember, a 30-yard play. But I think that's the way this offense is going forward. Some nights you're going to eat, and some nights you're just going to, get leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he was setting the world on fire, Sam Laporta, but someone's got to kind of take a step back when they only ran 53 plays and they're going to run half the time. So what can you expect when they only attempt 18 passes? I mean, you can't all catch 10 balls every week. So, I mean, they were wildly efficient last night, and I think, everyone kind of showed out. I mean, Tim Patrick.
I was just going to get to him. I think he'll be – you'll see more of him. To me, he might be one of the most crucial players for the rest of the season because that big target that you can get the ball to him, like Laporta, you get it to him, like an outlet. A big target that can run a little bit. I was impressed with him last night.
Yeah, I think he showed more that he had earlier, and that's good. You know, I don't think that, you know, the Lions to this point have really had a legitimate, you know, third receiver, but if he showed some signs that he could fill that, you know, fill that role, and if he can, that's a heck of a thing to have on your side.
Yeah, another dilemma on offense. Oh, the David Montgomery. It's good, but it's not good. This David Montgomery-Gibbs split, they're both so good. And when one's in the game, even though they're playing good, you're like, man, I wish the other one was in the game too. Or I wish he could. You just don't know what to do. But I don't have a problem with splitting. Yeah. But I'm just like, you just want both of them. I wish they could, like some type of melding. We could meld them into one player. Because I like to see both of them all the time on the field. But each of them is so good that I understand them not being in. Like, there's series where Gibbs will take it down into the red zone, and you know when he gets to, like, the between the 10 and the goal line, I want to see Montgomery in. But then again, Gibbs gets his own, you know, share running in there too. So that's the only problem I got. It's just a treasure of riches down there, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think about it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think when you see one running back out and he takes most of the series, like when you see Montgomery out there, it's like, okay, we might not see Gibbs for 10 minutes of game action. I mean, if this drive takes 5 minutes and the Seahawks get the ball, we might not see Gibbs for another quarter, because that's kind of how they do it, at least for part of the game. They go series by series, and then they kind of – seems like they kind of jumble it up a little bit, kind of play by play, later on as they go in the game. But I'm with you, Kenny.
Yeah, I looked up the stats this morning, and Gibbs has 51 snaps, 284 yards. Davenport, 63 snaps, 271 yards. So it's split up pretty evenly.
The best part about it is that they're such good friends on the field, and there's no animosity, and they pull for each other. Even after the touchdown, I don't think Gibbs was in the game. He was the first one in the end zone when Montgomery scored. I'm like, was he even in the game when he just run off the sideline? And they sit next to each other during when they're now on the field. And I just like the camaraderie between the two. There's no, you know, ego between them, and they just, you know, they're playing football. I think that's the best combo in the league right now.
Well, don't you think that's part of what Dan Campbell has produced here with this team? You know, to avoid some of that petty stuff that doesn't really make any difference one way or the other.
Yeah, but it always rears its head for money and stats, you know. And I'm glad that hasn't happened here. But even some of the better combos in history, there's always a little jealousy or whatever. But those two guys just seem to pull for each other. And I think nothing but good comes out of that. So.
No, yeah, I agree with that, Ken. You're absolutely right on that.
Now, Nick, I do have one problem. I do have one problem.
What?
Don't let Amara St. Brown throw the ball another touchdown, because evidently he wants to play quarterback. I've heard of the interviews after the game, and he was talking about he's the emergency quarterback, and he threw a nice ball. I just don't want to see him get too used to that, because I just want my quarterback throwing. But that was a hell of a play. I don't know why they broke it out in that game, but that was a hell of a play. Goff, I don't know if lumbering is the word, Nick, but he made it to the end zone, and it was a perfect pass.
I mean, I feel like people complain about, well, why did you use the trick play here? Why don't you save it for a game you need or the playoffs? Ben Johnson's going to come up with a play every game. I feel like there's a new play every game, like the hook and ladder last week, and then this throw to Jared Goff. I mean, there's no shortage of ideas that this offense is going to come up with. So I feel like we should kind of relax on why are we pulling these trick plays out in games or spots in the game that we don't need to use them. But I mean, they're always going to come up with something new, and I thought it was a perfect time to use it, because it's a goal line play, so there's only so many times you could use it.
And I believe a couple of years ago, Stafford, I don't know if Ben Johnson was I know he was on the staff, but I don't think he was the coordinator. Remember Stafford scored a touchdown? It was one of those end of the season games, and it was similar type play. I forgot who threw it to him.
Last game of the year, I think.
Yeah, but who threw the ball? It was the tight end, I think. Somebody threw it to him. I forgot who. It wasn't a running back that threw it to him. But, so Stafford made a touchdown like that, too. So, you know, it's par for the course. Now, got to talk about the defense. Any more offensive questions before we go? Because I got some questions about this defense. But offensively, any other questions? Jameson Williams, speed. And when you high-step it from the 30-yard end, you know you got speed. I mean, if you get him the ball on seams where he just splits that seam, you're not catching him.
And he just glides too. I mean, it's just it's amazing. I mean, that's a real athlete.
And Nick, I don't know if you two balls a game is enough. I guess it has to be, but I would like to see him get the ball four times at least a game.
Yeah, sure. I mean, how many times did I throw the ball again?
You only threw 18, right? You only 18.
Yeah, I don't know. We can't be too picky with this.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, I was trying to save it, but let's get to the defense. Are you guys worried about the defense? I'm kind of worried because there's a one position that is obvious they need to upgrade or somebody needs to step up, and they're not doing it. You know that Hutchinson, I don't think he had a stat last night. I don't think he had a tackle, and I know he didn't get a sack. But if they're triple-teaming him and chipping and doing everything else to his side, the end on the other side has got to get some pressure and make some plays. And I'm just not seeing that right now. You know, Davenport's gone for the year. To me, that's all hands on deck on that position.
You know, I thought they were fairly productive in the first three games. So, I thought it looked like they'd solved some of their problems. You know, penalties not being one of them. That's been since game one, and again last night with 12 penalties, and how many of them were on defense. So I still think there's work to do there, and we'll see. I mean, it's something that has to be done. It's something that has to be improved, no matter how they do it. And there's a lot of ways you can do it with the trade deadline coming up and all that. And we'll see what they do.
And, Nick, I don't know where you fall in on that, but are you concerned at all with defense?
Overall, no. I mean, I thought they had decent pressure on Geno. I think he just kind of escaped more than you wanted him to do. I feel like he stepped up in the pocket a lot, and there wasn't anyone in the middle to kind of hold him in from stepping up. I mean, I feel like Hutchinson had three hits on the quarterback. I know he didn't have a tackle or anything, but I mean, he had three quarterback hits, so double or triple teamed or quadruple teamed. He was getting there, but I don't really know where. I mean, they got the ball out quickly, so you can't really.
But we've been
saying
that for 3 weeks now. Stafford got the ball out quickly. They didn't say that about Murray, yeah. But you know, three of the four games, Tampa Bay's quarterback. My man's going over now. Baker Mayfield. He got the ball out fast. That's what they're going to do.
Then that's on your secondary.
But you
got
to get to
him. If you can't cover for doing 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds, then that's on your secondary.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Rely on your lineman to get to the quarterback every time.
I'm going to tell you the truth, though.
At least 4 seconds.
I agree, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I think the secondary has played good these four games. Even though they're completing passes, which every team's going to complete. Look, I'm sorry, every team's going to complete passes. These guys are just right with them. They're knocking a few away. They're way better than last year. The only thing that's going on now is that you got to tighten it down on the defensive line to make them get it out. And then when you're playing man, which is good, I think they're better. They had played a lot of zone last night because they had to. For one thing, their best defensive backfield player didn't play, for people that are forgetting, Brian Branch. And who played in his position right now, quickly? You two, between you two. Who played it?
Was it Brandon Joseph?
See, if you got to ask, that's my point. I didn't see him on the field the whole night. I know he was there because they had to play with
either.
11. Didn't hear him make a tackle, didn't hear him, didn't see him play. Made no impact plays. That's what I'm saying. You really – without Branch in there, I don't think it's fair to say the defensive backfield was bad last night, because I think with him there, it'll be much better. But that's my point, that you got to get that pass, which you got to close that quarterback in, and that one side, to me, is not doing the job right now. Pascal, I thought, I'm kind of disappointed in this play up to now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too. I expected more from him. I think the way from what we've heard, they expected more from him, too. Now, did make one play there in that game, but they need more than that.
Now, like Dick Roddy and you, Michael Hare, you may be living off the reputation of some column you wrote in 1985, you know, right now. You know, remember that column, Mike? No, the column you wrote in 85. Remember, everybody remembers that. But you can't live off that column forever, Michael Hare, and you didn't. You went and did more stuff, and you were great. How long are we going to live off James Houston's 8 sacks from 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, you got one job when you come in the game. He got two penalties last night. Your only job is to stay on side and rush the passer on the plays they put you in. He hasn't had a good camp up to now. People didn't even know if he was going to make the team. He did. He was inactive a couple of weeks. Now he's playing, and you see why he was inactive a couple of weeks. I don't think the future holds well for Mr. James Houston on the Lions.
Certainly nothing that he's done in these first four games that would cement his position in that roster. But,
I mean, he only played 14 snaps, and he had the two penalties. I mean, that's not a great ratio, but, I mean, Terry Arnold was almost just as bad as far as these penalties. I mean, I know they're picking on him, and I feel like the refs are probably looking out for him a little bit. But and the same with Carlton Davis. I feel like all the penalties on the corners yesterday were good calls. I mean, and the complaining to the refs, like, what is going on?
Well, I thought Carlton Davis was going to get thrown out on that one play if it wasn't for Kirby Joseph pushing him away out of there. And the one he's complained about, that was one of the ones I thought was a good call. The one he was, you know, got upset about, that was a mugging.
Terrion Arnold was going against, who was it, Bobo? The fourth receiver on the Seahawks didn't go up against Jackson Smith and Jigba, didn't go up against DK Metcalf, not really Tyler Lockett. All his time, I feel like every time he drew a penalty was against Bobo.
Yeah.
Who, if you can't cover Bobo, I don't know why you're a first-round pick.
Well, see, I got a different view on Terrion Arnold. I think he's playing good. Not great, but good. And I said, he's going to get penalties. I don't mind a penalty if it's like, oh, okay, it's just like a completed pass. So he gets one or whatever. Those 40 and 50-yarders are the ones I have a problem with, like the first game, which he hasn't got, thank goodness. But, look, he's going to get those. Remember a Warrior a couple years ago got six PIs in that one game?
Yeah.
You know, that's when you're playing bad. That's bad play. What I see with Kerryon is just – that's the rookie hazing process you had to go through. And I think besides that, he's always with the guy. He's there. Just got to stop being handsy. You know, at Alabama, you might be able to get away with that. Can't get away with that in this league, and he'll learn that. But his technique is good. He's with these guys, and he's learning. I have no problem with, every penalty every now and then with him. Now, when he has the stupid penalties, then I'll have a problem. But I'm good. I don't know about you, Mike.
Well, I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he's going to be a good player, but you just can't have the plays and the penalties that he keeps he's racking up game after game after game. Now, I thought he was pretty solid for the first first part of the game, but all of a sudden just rebounded to what he'd been doing before that, and that's you just can't have that. You're giving the other team free yardage.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, like I said, that's the learning process. I don't have a problem with it. Just mark my words, second half of the season, we'll revisit Terrion Arnold and we'll see. And I Rakishaw got in last night when Davis got hurt for a play or two, and I thought they were going to go right at him. But they went somewhere else. But, he had been hurt the last couple of weeks, and he got back in there. That nice young secondary, and they're going to learn.
Amik Robertson showed out, though. He had a couple of great plays. He was probably one of the stars of the defense last night. He played great.
Like I said, name me a play Brandon Joseph, or Brian, whatever his name, Joseph made. I didn't see him out there. And that's like playing 10 on 11, because I didn't hear his name. I didn't see him out there. I'm sure he was, because I didn't see any penalties for 10 men on the field. So I just tell me what he did. And I just think that when Brian Branch comes in, you really saw Brian Branch his impact by what didn't happen last night. I saw a couple missed tackles, a couple of, where he would usually run up to the line of scrimmage and make a tackle for loss. You just didn't see that at all last night. But, hey, victory is a victory. And like I said, that was a trap game. I'm happy with that. Jack Campbell to me. Come on, give it up. I know, Mike, you've been hard on my man, Jack Campbell.
I'm softening. I'm softening. I think he's what you want in a middle linebacker, and I think eventually he's going to move into that role on a full time basis. But you see progress, you see plays, you see production. I think they got a good one there.
Plus, man, being 6'5" in the middle, man, yep, that's tough for quarterback to throw over and around. I like his stature first of all. And he does good run stopping. Like I say, he made the hit for the fumble. I just let that kid play, man. Let all of those young guys play. They're only going to get better.
That includes Malcolm Rodriguez, too. He had a play last night.
Malcolm has always been, since he's been here, he's always been a good player. You know, he's a little challenge size-wise, but he's a real good player.
Yep, just good.
Unlike James Houston, but I'll let that go. I'm sorry, man. How long can we live off 2 years ago in those eight games? I just want to know. And, Aaron Glenn is not one to suffer fools long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean he's a fool, but that's an expression for y'all get back to him and he's looking for me at practice. But Aaron Glenn does not – Aaron Glenn, he'll get you out of there. So,
yeah, I guess we'll see him. We got an extra week to kind of figure out if they're going to bring anyone in.
I got a feeling there's going to be a couple of roster spots in this week off that was going to change, but we'll see. I do have to make a mea culpa from the last podcast.
What did you do this time?
I said that Nice was going to start at center and when Ragnar was out, and that they weren't going to move over Glasgow. Okay, I was wrong. Got bad info.
Thank you.
That's why I will not say anything bad about the offensive line, because I was wrong. But I tell you what, Owusika, for a six lineman, I thought he played very good last night. Made some good blocks. You really didn't know that, Glasgow wasn't at the left guard. I thought he played he played a better game in left guard than Glasgow played the game before at left guard, to me.
Yeah, I don't know how deep I'm going to go into my left guard comparison so far this year.
But see, that's what I do. I get down to the depths of analyzation here.
Yeah, check my chart.
But you,
he played well.
He played well. So you do got backup guys. I'm worried about the tackle if one of the tackles goes down. But at least guard wise, you got some backups there that can do damage and get in the game. Hopefully Ragnar won't be gone that long. Some people say maybe a month, 3 weeks. You got the bye, so that'll be, 3 weeks when that next game happens, and then maybe a week after that. So as long as he gets back, like I said, the second half of the season is when that's when you start playing for the playoffs. You just don't want to get too far behind in the first half. And I think the Lions are going to, tune it up and get ready to go. That defense, they need about eight games to get it to where I think they want it to be.
Well, there'll be some wins in there.
Oh, they're going to win. They're going to win.
For as bad as they played, they only still scored, 29 points, and two of those points for a safety. So, I mean, they didn't – they moved the ball. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But they still – they tightened up in the red zone a couple times. They had a nice interception to steal the game. They forced another fumble, Jack Campbell. So, for maybe as bad as we thought they played, still didn't even score 30 points.
Now, players I want to step up and players who are stepped up, who have stepped up. DJ Reader, to me, he don't even have to have a stat, and you notice he's in the game. And I like what I see out of that. That goes back to Big Daddy Wilkinson days. Remember, Mike, where they just had a guy to just get in there and stand everything up in the middle of the field?
Right, yeah.
And he's not as big as Big Daddy, but, he's still impressive. I really like that. McNeil's got to step up a little, fellas.
Well, he's got hurt.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give him a couple of weeks, but I'm just saying, to me, who's I want to say surprise member of that line that's playing very well is Onsarike. Yes, a guy that you wouldn't even – a couple of months ago, you thought he might not even make the team. I think he stepped up big time, had a sack last night. You hear him every week. He's very active in there. And they played him a little. I think they started him last night on the other side in Davenport spot, too. So he can move around the line a little bit. Very impressive for a guy that had that back surgery.
By the way, isn't it neat to have two Davenports?
Yes.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you.
When you said Davenport, I wasn't sure what you were talking about at first.
Oh, I'm talking about Mark. See, he's been gone so long. Like I say, he only plays two games for the injured list. But,
Yep.
Roddy, what do you think about that D-line on that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, they were good. I mean, I don't want you to talk too much about it because you did jinx Marcus Davenport last year.
I sure did.
That's kind of Onsarike's only knock on him was his health before this season. We didn't really know what he was. He hasn't been on the field enough. So Yeah, he played well. Wingo.
There you go. I've been waiting for it. Say his name again.
Wingo.
Brett, that's a six-round pick, fellas. And he's in on crucial rundowns, too, and crucial pass downs. I mean, they're mixing him in.
Well, does that say more about your existing guys or about your sixth-round pick?
No, I think it says more about the sixth-round pick because he's in there doing damage, man. And he did it at LSU. Like I said, don't really do the sixth-round pick because he got hurt last year. Don't sleep on this kid, man. But Mike, I know I'm going to say it, and I know you're going to call me an idiot. And I'm not saying he's as good as this guy. But do you see John Randall in him?
John Randall from 30 years ago?
Yes. That's why I'm talking to you, Mike, because you were there.
I know there's an insult of some kind coming
it's
here.
Not an insult. But you remember John Randall was small, 265 or whatever, yeah, but he would get in there. I see John Randall in him. I see a little John Randall.
He's also in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I said he's not. I'm not comparing to a Hall of Famer. I'm talking about style of play. Style of play.
I could see that a little bit. Very, very vocal guy, too. We talk about John Randall. He would go by and find out, research their backgrounds and all that, and then just work them over during the game, I guess, and really aggravated some of the guys.
I remember Barry Sanders saying he would be in the huddle and hear John Randall calling him from the huddle and to ask him questions. Yeah, very, very vocal guy. But like I said, Hall of Famer, undrafted player also.
Yep.
So, all right, well, any last remarks on last night's game and before we go to what the future holds?
Roddy? Well, you didn't ask me about this, but I just want to give my opinion on the uniforms. I like the uniforms. I just wish they had bigger numbers. That's all. That's my only complaint.
Well, damn, Mike, were you gonna have a billboard for a number, or you just want a different color number? Would you like them if they were white?
I just make suggestions.
With the numbers, would it be better if the numbers were white? Because the numbers are like like an outline with blue.
Yeah,
they're not white.
They're not white.
No, yeah, they're outline white. Yeah. Then if they are, but yeah, I agree.
I didn't hear the radio team complaining about him because maybe they were too small or maybe the color. But yeah.
So I hate these early buys, but we got a bye week this week. I think some determinations on the bottom of that roster are going to be made. I don't, like I said, some people. I'm not missing any names. Better not, better stay away from the phone. Don't get too comfortable because I like to see the bottom of that roster. Would you guys go after Hassan Reddick?
No.
Ooh. No, not this week, no.
What do you mean not this week? What are you, shopping at Costco? What do you mean, either going to get him or you're not? What does this week have to do with it?
I mean, I'm waiting until closer to the deadline.
The price always goes up when more teams want. I tell you what, I'd make an offer, and I'm not giving up a first round pick. I'm not giving up a second round pick. I'll make an offer. If you don't take it, then fine. But I would see, man. That's the only thing that defense is missing. And Brad Holmes didn't address it last year at the deadline. He didn't address it really in the draft because Mingo was really the only defensive lineman or defensive line, rusher he got. And they got to address that position. The Davenport was a failure because he only played two games for you. So I'm looking anybody or everybody I can. Now, another rumor came up. I'm glad I'm going to talk about this. A rumor was the Miami Dolphins inquired about Hendon Hooker. Now, I think they might have denied they inquired about any quarterback, but I got good sources on this.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Why not? I mean, why wouldn't they?
Do you keep them? Or if you got offer you can't refuse, do you move them?
Well, what would be an offer you can't refuse?
If I get a defensive end that's real good, that can start, that can play, or if I get a second-round pick.
I'd take it, too. Yeah.
Mike?
They're not going to trade a player. I mean, they're still trying to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to trade a starting defensive player. So, yeah, I would take it too.
Mike?
I think I'd want more than that.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Maybe a two and a five or something.
Yeah, I'd have to have that And you might have thrown one. Well, I don't want Tim Boyle back, but I need a backup quarterback then. If that's the only problem.
Kenny, Boyle?
I'm just saying that's all that Miami has to give back. I need a backup quarterback if I get rid of Hendon Hooker, so I got to go find one. So I don't know if you're going to give me one of yours back. But, you know, is Jake Fromm, you know, do you think he can be the backup for the rest of the season?
I mean, he can be if you make him the backup.
Well, I mean, can he actually do something if he had to play?
Well, there's no evidence, no history on him that says he's done that.
Right, that's my point. Anyway, just a thought that, because Hendon Hooker's, what, he's 26, going to be 27 next year? You already signed Goff for the next 3 years for sure. He's not going to play for you as a starter. So maybe it's if you get the right offer, you can cash out. Because I believe that kid can be a starter in this league.
Well, we'll see.
Hey, Roddy, when you hear that from Michael Harrier, you know, he that's like saying no when he says that.
I'm with Mike.
All right. But as you know, I foresee the future. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I love doing these after a win because you come in with a lot. Oh, one last thing, too. Kenny Walker III. That's a ball player, man. I saw it at Michigan State, but that is a ball player. And he didn't play for Seattle the first couple games. So maybe that's part of why they were more impressive offensively last night than even people thought. Because, man, he did some – did you see the one where Anzalone – tried to tackle him, and he, like, tumbled over him and got up?
Twice.
Yeah, but the one, they didn't he's impressive. And he was impressive at Michigan State. And, like I said, Seattle's got a good offense. I don't know where they're going to finish in that division, but that's a pretty good team, Mike.
That's pretty good. I'd agree with that. I mean, they got 3-1, but I don't think their 3-1 is as strong as the Lions is, and obviously because they got beat by the Lions.
Right.
I think they're down there in the lesser area.
Right. All right, gentlemen, that's the K&M Podcast with Nick. We'll be back next week for what we're going to – I guess we'll do one next week since it'll be the bye week. We'll see what goes on with the team. Thank you, gentlemen, for your contribution today. Nick Roddy?
All righty.
Mike O'Hara?
As always.
And that's the K&M Podcast.